Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As I was just reading the parable of the sower there, I was thinking about having to reseed our back lawn here, which we tore up to put in the sewer pump station, but I guess a missed opportunity on this one. Other than to say, I'm glad that the seed is taken to the soil and taken root and has not died in all the sun and heat. So, you know, it must be like our soil in the backyard must be like the one who knows how to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, I've heard all sorts of preachers in my day. I'm sure you have too, including this guy up here. And I gotta say, it is a tall task to preach. I mean, it's kind of intimidating to stand up here week to week, and then also to come up with stories and try and be creative and interpretation. I mean, it's not an easy thing. But more difficult than that is to sit and listen to preachers, right? I feel you. I've been there. I've heard all sorts of preachers throughout my days. I've heard, obviously, probably more Lutherans than anybody else. But I've heard Catholic preachers. I've heard Methodist preachers. All sorts of Baptists, some evangelicals, some fundamentalists. And I don't think I've heard any Mormons, but maybe I should put them on the list. We'll see. I've heard good preachers. I've heard bad preachers. I've heard short preachers. I've heard long preachers. I've heard great storytellers. I've heard comedians. I've heard some real duds. In the whole course of sitting there and listening over the years of preaching that I've heard, I used to think that the value of the sermon was if the preacher moved you or not. The preacher's ability to write a good sermon, to engage you, to move you from where you came in to wanting to be, kind of think differently about God and the world as you left the sanctuary that day. Now, I used to think this way, and I used to think, also to, you know, come with a little bit of chip on my shoulder as one who understood the endurance that you all go through sitting there listening to us talk at you for a while. I mean, I preach about 10 to 15 minutes, and I know many other, especially mainline preachers, do that as well. Some preachers, man, they get away with like 4 to 8 minutes. So you guys are getting your money worst, right? Other preachers, though, man, they'll really tax you for all you're worth. They'll preach 45 minutes, 50 minutes, 60 minutes, right? And they'll make sure you know what you're paying for, right? This is kind of a unique thing in our society anymore, right? Who do you listen to? Anybody else that week? Even our short preachers, right? Or 10-minute preachers. I mean, really, like, where else in society do you just sit and listen to somebody talk for that long? We don't even listen to politicians. We just wait for the 2-minute sound bites, right, that the news gives us. Yeah, 2 minutes is a long one, right? Like 30 seconds. It's a very unique thing to come to church anymore and to sit and listen for extended periods of time. Well, I hope, as your preacher, I hope you know that I don't take your time and attention for granted. I'm being a little flippant and facetious as a joke about how much of an endurance test it is for you to be here on Sundays, as though you are storming the beaches of Normandy or something like that by sitting and listening to a sermon. But I am being serious when I say that it is significant, the time that you sit and listen and let the proclamation, the word of God, waft over you and come down, as our first lesson from Isaiah says, the word of God come down as the rainfall upon your souls and upon your ears. And I also want to say that it is a privilege to preach. I take it as no small task to come up here week after week and be able to tell you that you are forgiven, that you are loved in the eyes of God, that you are cared for eternally, the God who sent his only son to come and die for for you. I feel it is a great privilege to be entrusted with that awesome responsibility. I do my best to not mess it up too much. And yet, what we do as preachers is not a performance. It is a proclamation. I want to say that again. What we do as preachers is not a performance. It is a proclamation. So what I once thought of the value of preaching is how much it moved you, how much the sermon tugged on your heart, how much it made you think, maybe, how much it inspired you to be different, to do more, and to live differently in your faith lives once you left the sermon. What I gauged and thought in one time, I now disagree with. The value and power of the sermon is not in the preacher's ability to perform, the preacher's ability to engage, the preacher's ability to be creative and to be a good storyteller, or comedian, whatever, right? The value of the sermon is in its proclamation of the gospel. In this way, the word of God proclaimed from the pulpit can defy our worldly expectations. Just as you guys defy the expectations of the world by coming and sitting to hear somebody preach for 10 to 15 minutes every week. In the same way, the word of God, which comes from the pulpit, defies our expectations. That is not about our ability to perform, but it is about the power of the word of God. The power of the word of God, which stands on its own, regardless if the preacher is any good or not. Now, the word of God comes from the preacher's mouth, as I said, like water for our souls, as though they were parched lands suffering from drought and famine. Sadly, eastern Montana and western North Dakota at the moment kind of fits that bill. I saw online many preachers over there found this text especially challenging this week as they have no water to supply for their crops. In the same way, their lands are drought and just dried up like crazy, longing for rain, longing for moisture to come. They don't have the blessed canal system that we do on this side of the mountains to kind of make up the difference there. In the same way, our souls are like the parched earth that suffers day after day from the sins of this world, the brokenness of this world. It endures all sorts of hardship, maybe in relationships, in our working lives, the stresses of this world. I know many of you have entertained copious amounts of family members over the summer. That brings its own stress. It brings its own joy too, right? But its own stress. For our souls in the sin-sick world, it is a powerful thing to hear regularly, week after week after week. And God still loves us. And God still cares for us and values us and seeks the best for us. Desires for our forgiveness, desires for our wholeness, right? As we keep on struggling through all the stresses and frustrations of our lives, day to day, week to week. To hear regularly that God cares for us so much that He sent His only Son into the world on our behalf is no small thing. I used to take that for granted. I used to think, oh, I've heard that before. Well, it's boring news, right? Let's get on to the good stuff. Let's talk about, the intricacies of purgatory doctrine or something that we reject now. Let's talk about, sanctification. Let's get into all the Latin and the Greek. Those things are all important and have their place. But repeatedly hearing that you are loved, that you are cared for, that you are forgiven in the eyes of God through Jesus Christ. I know that's something that you have heard before, but it is also something worth repeating. It's something worth coming back again and again, week after week after week, to hear. And sure, our preaching does get repetitive. Sometimes in my sermon preparation, I'm like, do I really have to say this again? I said that last week. And then I come to the greater realization that there's nothing more in our entire lives, in this whole universe, worth repeating more. And God's love is so strong, so eternal, so everlasting that it is never ending. That God loves you just as much today as He will tomorrow, as He will the day after. That God cares for you more than you can ever realize, in infinite ways, in an ever-expanding universe. That love is expanding along with Him. Though our lives may have a beginning and end, God's care for them does not. That's something we're saying again and again and again. And that's something worth hearing again and again and again, no matter who is saying it. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.